Good morning. Thank the Lord for the privilege of being here this morning. Got something that's maybe a little different, but I think it ties into the Sunday school lesson, which I really appreciated. And I'm going to write something on the board. I wrote, "How have you set your sails?" And I'd like to read a poem. This poem, the only place I've been able to find it really, besides a few references to the place I found it online, is in a book that Brother C.E. Orr wrote back, in 1912. I don't know if he wrote the poem. In the book, he doesn't give the author to it. But let me read it to you. "I stood beside the open sea. The ships went sailing by. The wind blew softly o'er the lee. The sun had cloudless sky. Some ships sailed eastward, some sailed west, some north, some southward trend. How can ships sail this way and that, but one way blows the wind? An old sea captain made reply, his locks with salt spray wet. 'Tis not the wind decides the course, 'tis way the sails are set. I stand beside the sea of life, the ships go sailing by. The winds blow fair from heaven's land, no clouds bedim the sky. But one sails eastward, one sails west, one north, one southward goes. How can ships sail this way and that with self-same wind that blows? A voice made answer to my soul, 'tis not how blows the gale. Each voyager decides the goal by way he sets the sail.'" I'd like to turn to 2 Chronicles, the 19th chapter, and I would appreciate your prayers very much. It is true that the only people that are going to enter into heaven are those who are washed in the blood of Jesus. And I'm very dependent upon the blood of Jesus. But the Lord deals with each one. The scripture says, we won't turn there, but there's a scripture that says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose hearts are perfect toward him. I'd like to look at such a man today, by the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, it says in 2 Chronicles 19 and 1, he returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. This is not quite as familiar a chapter as the preceding one. Chapter 18 is the one where King Ahab was going to go fight in Ramoth-Gilead. Probably every one of us have heard the story. And he asked Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me?" Jehoshaphat was a man of which it was said that he did right in the sight of the Lord. I believe he was King Asa's son, was he not? I think he was. And he was a good man. He did a lot of things that were right. But he had some faults. The fault that I've kind of picked up about him in the scriptures is that he really loved to be together with people to a fault. He loved other people to think well of him. He loved for there to be no discord. He loved to be teamed up with people. And you know, there's a lot of people like that today. It's a human trait. Some people I've seen don't seem to care at all about those kind of things. Don't care what you think about them. Don't care what your opinion is of how you're doing your life. But there's some people that care quite a good deal. And I'm that way. I think it's kind of a family trait. I think a lot of people in my family are that way. We care what people think. And it can get in the way and be a detriment. Well, Jehoshaphat was a good king, but Ahab said, "Will you go with me?" And he said, and he made this reply, or a variation of it, three times to three different kings that I can find in Scripture. He said, "I'll go with you. My people are as your people. My horses are as your horses. I'm going to go, and I'm on your team." And this particular time, he said, "Why don't we inquire of the Lord, see what the Lord wants us to do?" And so Ahab gathered 400 prophets that he had a personal relationship with, and they told him stuff that he liked, and gathered them together and said, "Well, what do you think about this?" And they said, Yeah, go up. The Lord's going to deliver it." Ahab knew they were going to say that. That's why he called them. And then Jehoshaphat, I guess, smelled a rat. And he said, "Well, don't you have anybody else?" And Ahab said, "Well, yeah, there's Micaiah over here. But I hate him. He doesn't ever tell me anything I want to hear. He always tells me stuff that's just a bunch of rubbish. And I can't do anything with it. He never says anything that pleases me." And Jehoshaphat said, "I'd like to hear from him anyway, if you don't mind." And so they brought Micaiah in there. Of course, we know the story of Micaiah. At first, Micaiah said, "Go up. The Lord's going to deliver you." And Ahab knew that Micaiah was speaking sarcastically. And he said, "Look, cut the funny business and just tell me what the Lord said." And Micaiah said, if you go at all, the Lord showed me a vision of all Israel without their master. Basically saying, this is what's going to happen. You're going to go to the battle, but you're not going to return. Israel's going to be short a king. And Ahab said to Micaiah, Jehoshaphat, he said, "Didn't I tell you that this guy wouldn't say anything good?" Anyway, Micaiah said, "If you go at all," and this is after Ahab said, put this fellow in prison, feed him bread of affliction and water of affliction. That's not talking about angel food cake. He said, "I want to give this guy a rough time until I come back." And Micaiah said, "If you come back at all, not injured, if you come back, the word of the Lord didn't speak to me." And Jehoshaphat still went. What do you think about that? Jehoshaphat still went. And he came back. So let's pick it up in the 19th. I've spent a little more time there than I planned to, but I wanted to kind of get the picture. Jehoshaphat came back. He returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. Jehu, the son of Hanani, this is 2 Chronicles 19:2. The seer went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, "Shouldest thou help the ungodly?" This is what you call a rhetorical question. It's one that the answer is already obvious. "Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord." But listen to what he said. He said, "Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God." Aren't you glad that people are not the ones that try to judge us and look on who we are? There's something that's deep that's deeper than I can see. It's deeper than you can see. It's deeper than anyone can see or ascertain. Your friends that know you well, your spouse even, some of the closest human relationships that you can imagine cannot look at you and tell you what's in your heart. But the Lord can. And he said, there are good things found in thee, and that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. I want to get something out of this story. Read a little farther. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim. And he brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers, and he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, take heed what you do, for you judge not for man, but for the Lord who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. And we keep on, maybe we'll stop there, but in this, in the next chapter, we read about how Ammon and Moab sent out their armies to try to destroy Jehoshaphat. And this, the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles is one that has been a great encouragement to me and some very valuable instruction, because it's the one where Jehoshaphat assembled people and said, I want you to sing praises to the Lord. And when they began to sing and praise, there was such a great victory. And then afterwards, there was so much spoil to gather up that they were 3 days gathering it up. It was so much. So you can look at this thing that Jehoshaphat did, and he joined affinity with Ahab. You know what he did? He made a big mistake. He shouldn't have done that. It was not wise. You could say it was not what the Lord wanted him to do. But it was something that it was part. I don't know what Jehoshaphat, what was in the back of his mind. I don't know how he was raised. I don't know all of the different variables and the dynamics of his family history and all of that. But the Lord knew all of that. And the Lord said, there's good things found in you. I want you to prosper. I want you to be my child. I want you to serve me, and I'm going to help you do it. And so he sent somebody, we heard about this in the Sunday school this morning, he sent somebody to reprove Jehoshaphat. We didn't really read Jehoshaphat's response to it, but no doubt Jehoshaphat took it to heart and said, Lord, it helped me to do better. The reason I did this was because I wanted people to think well of me, and I wanted to be teamed up, and I wanted to be helpful, and I don't even know what all the reasons were. But the Lord, you know, you ever heard of behavioral psychology? I'm not a fan of it, okay? But behavioral psychology is in the form that we understand it today. Basically, people, you ever heard of Dr. Spock? People that basically say, if a person committed a crime, it wasn't his fault. It was because of this back there and that back there, and how he was raised, and you know, there's actually something to that. But it's not the way the world does it. The Lord has a way, as we heard about in the Sunday school this morning, the Lord has a way of taking the things that people do, and he knows exactly why they did it, and he knows exactly where the blame lies, and he knows exactly what this person needs in order to make it to heaven and prosper. And he gives the correction, and he brings the reproof and everything that the person, but he lays the blame right where it belongs. Not like the world does. Some people in the world want to be unmerciful, and they want to come down with a heavy hand, and they And some of the prison sentences I think that people have gotten in times past and punishments and stuff have actually driven a person more toward a life of crime or derelict. Some people take the other route and they say, this person's not to blame. We can't blame him for this. Don't spank your children. Don't do this and that. Don't do correct, because man is basically good, they say. We know man is not basically good, don't we? It's basically evil. But the world takes one of two approaches. Either no mercy or let's put the blame somewhere else. And then you have people. But the Lord goes right down the middle. And he goes in a way, I want this message, if you'll hang with me here, this message is to be a message of encouragement and hope for all of us. And so the Lord was with Jehoshaphat and he helped him. Now, I would like to go to Psalms 103 and 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Thank God. I don't know how many times that this scripture has come to me. The Lord created you just the way you are. He created you with the personality that you've got. He put you in the family that you're in. He let you grow up in the environment that you grew up in. He let you have the interactions with the people that you've had. Everything that you've had in your life, the Lord has allowed you to have it. He created you with the strengths and the weaknesses that you've got. And in every one of his dealings, he remembers all of those factors. Thank the Lord. And so he said, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. When we fall short in our lives, you know that we tend to throw in the towel, as we were talking about this morning, and say, I can't live this. I can't do it. Or we tend to try to sweep it under the rug and ignore it and just try to keep on going. But there is a middle route. There is a scripture, we won't turn there, but it's in Proverbs 24 and 16. I don't know why the Lord gave me this morning. I don't know who all will benefit for it, but I know the Lord has encouraged me with it. Proverbs 24 and 16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. And I want to say right here that there is a big difference between lacking spiritual maturity and open rebellion. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? Ananias and Sapphira, you know what the difference is? It's the way your sails are set. It's what's in your heart, what you really want to do. You know, Jehoshaphat really wanted to serve the Lord. He wanted to serve the Lord more than anything else. And that was his driving force. That was what he always came back to. That's why the scripture says, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. It's not, the focus is not that a just man falleth seven times. And if a man doesn't fall seven times, then he's not a just man. That's not what the scripture's saying. He's saying that the focus is on what you do when you fall. What you do when you fall short and you say, you know what? That was not like God. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. That was not like God. That was not what the Lord wanted me to do. What does a just man do? Does he act hypocritical about it? Sweep it under the carpet and say, well, that wasn't anything. Does a just man say, well, I can't live it, so I'm just gonna forget it. No, I can't live for the Lord, so why should I even try? I had a great uncle who I had a lot of respect for. My uncle Lauren Busby, and he got saved, and he tried to live so tightly And he was so hard on himself that he couldn't live it. And I want to talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. And so you know what he did? He gave up. He said, I can't do this. Can't live for the Lord, so why even try? And so he went out into a life of sin. And he was able, in later years, he was able to get a hold of a scripture. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he got saved and he never gave up again. But you know what else he did? He was a lot more merciful on himself and on other people too. And that's part of what I want to talk about this morning. Remember, I mentioned Ananias and Sapphira. How is what they did different than what Jehoshaphat did? It's the way their sails were set. It's the direction that really you could rephrase this. What direction are you going? Are you pressing toward God? Are you pressing toward holiness? Are you pressing toward do you want the presence of the Lord? Do you want the will of the Lord? Is that your overarching goal this morning? Do you know that that was not Ananias and Sapphira's goal? They had the scripture. Well, I'll tell you how they were. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees one day, and he said, you're a bunch of hypocrites. And I'll read this. We won't turn there. But in Matthew 15 and 7, he said, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Then he told another story, not in the same chapter, I don't think, but he said, a man had two sons. And he said, he told one of them, I want you to go work for me. And for whatever reason, the son said, I won't do it. And then afterward, he repented and he went. And the second son, he said, go to work for me, son. And the second son said, I'm on it. Right now, I'm headed out. I'll meet you in the field. And he never showed up. And that is the difference. Jesus looked at the Pharisees and he said, you make clean the outside of the cup. And you do all of these things. But the way your sails are set isn't toward God. But it's to look good and get by with as much as you can. That was not Jehoshaphat's goal. Jehoshaphat had some things in his life that only stepping into heaven will reveal the answers to. It's not written down. It's not written down why Jehoshaphat thought the way he did. Why he had the weakness that he did. But with the weaknesses and with the problems that he had, his heart was set to serve the Lord. And that's what he kept coming back to. And that's what he kept doing. And you know, the Lord worked with him. And the Lord will work with you and me also. We have things in our life. Every one of us have things in our life that maybe a psychologist would look at us and say, well, you're not responsible for anything you do because of this. And because of this. But the Lord looks at it in a different light. Other people might look and say, there's no hope for you. You've been too bad. You've got too many problems. You're too this and you're too that. But the Lord looks at each one of us and he says, a just man falleth 7 times and he riseth up again. But the wicked, somebody, you know what the difference between these two people are? A just man is somebody whose sails are set. And whose focus is on God. And I'm going to go and I may stumble. And I may fail. And I may have some problems. And I have some weaknesses. But every time that those things get me into trouble, Lord, I want to serve you. Lord, help me to do better. Lord, bring the things into my life that'll help me not to make that same mistake again. Lord, would you please come to me and teach me your ways. It seemed, I want to tell you something. I have been shocked at how many ugly things the Lord has uncovered in my life since I've been saved. And I've done something, and the Lord will come to me and say, the motivating factor behind what you said was pride. Or what may you have, you've got some unforgiveness in your heart toward this individual, and that's why you're thinking these thoughts, and that's why you did what you did. And it seems like it's like I, the song says, I can see far down the mountain where I wandered weary years, often hindered in my journey by the ghosts of doubts and fears, broken vows and disappointments thickly sprinkled all the way, but the Spirit led unerring to the land I hold today. And I can look in my past and I can see all the things I used to say and do, and I was saved, but I didn't realize what I was saying and what I was doing. And little by little, the Spirit of God put His finger on this thing and that thing. And He said, I want you to do better. You can do better than this. I want to drive this giant out. This is in there and I had no idea. But I want to tell you something else. That it takes time for those things to be driven out sometimes. You know, there are things that the Lord has showed me about quite a while back, and I'm still working on them. I'm still working on getting more and more victory. I can look down the mountain and I look and I say, how was I even saved? I don't even know. But the blood of Jesus and the mercy of God was upon me and led me to what I am today. But do you know, I will probably look back at what I am today 20 years from now and think, well, how was I ever pleasing to the Lord then? It seems like no matter how far I go with God, the distance still to go remains the same in my field of vision. I look and I can see, oh, I wish I could do so much better. Oh, I'm just not enough like God in this. And I want to do better. We do have the Holy Spirit to keep us from going. I want to tell you, there is a difference. I want to make this distinction. There is a difference between the Lord working on things in our life and getting more victory and getting more moving up in something. There's a difference between that and open rebellion, where I know there's something that I know that's wrong. And in a clear mind, I go and I make the decision to do it anyway. That's where we get in trouble with God. That's where we get in trouble with God. Let's go to Psalm 57. This says, to the chief musician, Altashif, victim of David when he fled from Saul in the cave, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, till these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, and to God that performeth all things for me. Maybe I'll skip through this a little bit for the sake of time. In the fourth verse it says, my soul is among lions. In the sixth verse it says, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down, they have digged a pit for me, before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. Like to look at this chapter and maybe apply it in a little bit different way than they're used to thinking, than we're used to thinking about. Did you know that the devil is after our souls? We have an enemy, we have an adversary that is continually coming against us and laying traps and setting snares and doing everything that he can to get us to throw in the towel and say, I give up, not going to do it anymore. But what did David say? He said, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. Thank the Lord. I want to tell you something this morning. If you really want to follow the Lord, He will make a way for you to do it. Nobody has a built-in advantage. Nobody has Remember what Jehoshaphat said when he appointed people to be judges and all that? He said, there is no respect of persons with the Lord. The Lord did not create somebody that was just naturally more virtuous than anybody else. There are people who seem to be more virtuous. I remember growing up, my sister and me and my brother, we have three different personalities. I was the one that was the attorney, and I would argue against every rule, but I wouldn't really ever, hardly ever disobey. I just wanted to make my parents change the rule where when I did what I wanted to do, it wouldn't be disobeying. My sister would happily go disobey no matter what it was, and my brother would disobey in secret and then make everybody think he was obeying. So everybody's different. Okay, now I maybe y'all didn't know all that. But did you know that the Lord did not create one person more virtuous than another? Some people are all out front and so flamboyant, and everybody thinks, wow, it's really going to take the grace of God for that one. It's really going to take the grace of God for all of us. We need the Lord to help us. And the devil has prepared a net for our steps. But if you really want to follow God, I want to tell you what Philippians 1 and 6 says. Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. A while back, I was counseling with somebody, and I said, brother, I feel like I'm playing whack-a-mole. You ever heard of that? It's an old game that was invented in 1975. You may have seen the digital version of it, but it's actually a Japanese game that wasn't even on a screen. It's mechanical, and there's all these holes, and these little moles would pop up, and you have to hit them with a hammer. If you don't hit them, you don't get the point. Well, am I the only person that feels like I'm playing that in my life sometimes? Every time that there's a weakness that pops up, well, here's another one over here. Lord, I'm just supposed to have perfect victory all the time. And I'm not supposed to have to deal with this anymore. But I thought I took care of that. Well, here it is again, and I'm over here trying to take care of this, and here's this issue again that pops up. And I was telling somebody that a while back, and they said, you know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit bringing things to the top. They've been there all this time. But the Holy Spirit wants you, as these things come up, to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to deal with that. Yes, Lord, I'm going to take... Now, sometimes, okay, there's another side to it. Sometimes we may get to where we just feel like we don't have any victory, and it's because we don't. And it's because we let temptations, we do things, we don't take care of ourselves, and we get too close to temptations, and we give the devil too much room and all. There's that, okay? But you know that as saved and as sanctified as you can be, and as spiritual as you can be, you are going to have times where you think, you know what? I don't know if I can keep going. I don't know if I can make it because I have these weaknesses. And I prayed. I'll just tell you, one of my weaknesses is that I'm not naturally a patient person. And there have been times, or there was a time recently that I earnestly prayed in the morning. I said, Lord, help me to be so very patient today. Lord, would you just help me? I just want to be so patient. And you know, I believe the Lord will help us. But you know that I believe the Lord will allow us to come up short in those areas sometimes? Because I did. And I want to talk about that in a little bit. I want to tell you, this is where we live this morning. Okay? I'm not talking about flying off the handle and throwing things and breaking windows and all that. I'm talking about when we get quiet, the Lord can come back and say, you know what? You did not handle that situation like I wanted you to handle it. And this is how you can do it. Remember what we heard about in the Sunday school? The Lord will not come and beat us over the head and say, look, you just can't. You're just too far gone. You can't serve me anymore. But the Lord will come and say, this is what you did. But I've got grace for you. You can do this next time. And here's how to do that. And here's where you went wrong. And here's where your priorities were skewed. And if next time, if you'll do this, the Lord will talk to you. And the Lord talks to me. And you know what? The next time, I'll go at it. And I'll have a greater measure of victory. But then the Lord will talk to me about something else. And that's the way it's going to be. It says, be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's the people that don't ever feel any reproof in their lives that really ought to be worried, because the Lord wants to deal with us, and he wants us when we're old. He doesn't want us to have the same problems and be at the same place that we were when we're young. And so if you feel like, you know what, I have to work on this, and then there's this weakness. That's the Holy Spirit coming and saying, this is what you need to work on. And as long as we say, yes, Lord, and as long as we allow the grace of God to permeate in our lives, and as long as we're moving forward, that is a good thing and not a bad thing. But you know, it goes on in Philippians 1. In the 9th verse, it says, in the 6th verse, it said, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I hear people take scriptures like this and say, you know what, it doesn't matter what you do. The blood of Jesus will cover you and he'll bring you to heaven. Really, your life doesn't matter. But that's not what this is saying. He said, and this in the 9th verse, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. I want to tell you something, that if we live lives that are a reproach to God, we can never bring the glory and the praise of God to other people and for our light to shine bright. If we're going around and we have all kinds of things that are a reproach to Jesus Christ, the Lord knows how to help us with those things. And he's got grace for those things. But there is a difference. Jesus says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I just want to say this morning. Having a desire toward God, a true heartfelt desire, where it is the greatest desire, is a lot more important than having all the knowledge, the heritage, who my parents were, who my grandparents were, what church that I grew up in, all of that. Having a desire to serve God, and that being the way we set our sails, is a lot more important than those things. Because the Lord will teach us the knowledge. He'll help us to develop the understanding. He'll give us the victory. He'll give us all of those things. He'll bring us to a rich place. Now, there's a scripture, and I didn't write this down, but there's a scripture. It's in Hebrews 4. And it says the Word of God is sharp. It's quick. It's alive. And powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it talks about its ability to divide asunder between the soul and the spirit. Well, how do you do that? Did you know that in our lives, I believe that in the deepest recesses of our heart, the line between having a heart to serve God and having things that, how do I put this? I believe that many times it takes the Spirit of the Lord and His Word to help us to see the way our sails are really set. Whether our overarching desire is really to serve the Lord, but we have some things that the Lord wants to deal with us about, or whether it's an Ananias and Sapphira situation where we have kind of a show of serving the Lord, but really the greatest desire is pointed in a different direction. You know, I believe that many times it takes nothing but the Spirit of the Lord to reveal to us in our hearts what direction we're really pointed. In Isaiah 42 and 3, one of the most encouraging scriptures to me, it says, "A bruised reed shall he not break," talking about Jesus, "and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth." I just want to tell you, personally, I have things in my makeup and aspects of my personality of which I beg God, "Lord, will you have mercy on my soul?" There are things that I know are not the pinnacle of God's perfection and holiness. But I want to get there. And I strive and I press. That's what Paul did. He said, I haven't apprehended. I'm not there. But forgetting the things that are before or behind, the things that I've done, the stumblings that I've made, the Lord doesn't want us to live in the past. He doesn't want us to live with the failures always defining who we are and who we feel like we can be. But He wants us to step up, to take steps upward and say, I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. And then the very next verse, this is in Philippians 3, but he said, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you." Thank God. Now, I asked earlier in the message, why does the Lord allow us a certain measure of imperfection in our lives? I want to tell you, I used to be more of the mind that if we will have an absolute perfect heart toward the Lord, and if we will serve Him with all of our hearts, any time that we have a weakness or any time that we have a shortcoming, that it's simply because that we did not, that we aren't serving the Lord with all of our heart. I want to tell you that when we come to the Lord, we come packaged with things that the Lord is going to weed out. And He lets us live with those things for a time. I'm not talking about open rebellion against the Lord. You don't have to get saved a thief and then just kind of steal less and less. The Lord can deliver you from those things instantly. You do not have to get saved with a wicked addiction and then just be stuck with it for the rest of your life. The Lord has deliverance for that. But there are things in our lives that the Lord is going to allow to be gradually weeded out. And you know what? I don't know if the answer is too deep for me, but I believe I can lay out one purpose of it. In God's economy of life, everything that He wants us to be merciful, even as His Father, as He is merciful. If the Lord were to allow us complete perfection, complete in every area where we never had any faults, we never had any weaknesses, do you know the concept of mercy would be very hard to explain. It'd be very hard to teach. It'd be very hard to implement. But yet, the Lord allows us to have certain areas in our life where we're just not quite there yet. And you know what it causes in me more and more? It causes me to look at others and say, you know what? I don't know why they did what they did. I don't know why they are, but I'm not going to just cut them off in my mind. The Lord may be working with them. Lord, would you have mercy on them? And then I'm going to have a merciful heart towards them. Because you know what? That's what the Lord does to us. What better way? How would you do it? If you are merciful, if you're infinitely merciful, and you want your children to learn how to be merciful, what better way to do it than to leave them with things that it's going to take a while. It's going to take them a while to grow in. We grow and we grow. And the Lord is so merciful with us. I had two different instances that have stuck out to me. I've had more than this, but there's two in particular. When I was a child, there were two times that someone came and talked to me. And it was two different people, and neither of them were my parents. And they came and talked to me and just let me have it. Well, okay, neither of them did it in a really bad way. But they were people that came to me and they said, "This is how you are in this way." And they talked to me about this and it completely took me by surprise. I had no idea I was like that. I had no idea I had that fault. But it's something that today I look back at it and they were absolutely right. It was exactly how I was, but I had no knowledge of it. And you know that those memories and about how sometimes people would talk to me about this and that and get on to me, and it would completely blindside me. You know what it's done for me? Whenever I have seen things in my children, and I have made big mistakes and had to go back and apologize, but there have been times when I was just about to let one of my children have it. Or maybe I did let them have it. And just blasted them. "You should have," and all of this. And then the Lord will bring something back to me and say, you remember when you did something like this? And you didn't, it wasn't even in your mind that it was wrong. And the Lord uses these things to help us in our interactions with our children. I remember my mom saying one time that the Lord, that it was, I think it was about me. She said, "Lord, how in the world can he even be saved?" And the Lord said, "Hold your judgment. I'm working with him. Hold your judgment. Don't come down as hard as you want to come down on. You hold your judgment." And you know, I'm so glad she did that. Because the Lord was able to work with me. And the Lord was able to turn me into somebody that was so rough into somebody that's maybe a little bit less rough today. May the Lord help us each one. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.